The following sports presentation is a production of Blazers Broadcasting. Welcome to Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Here in Portland, call toll-free 503-963-4595. Elsewhere, call 1-877-475-4595. Email courtside at trailblazers.com or text message us courtside at 66937.
And welcome in Trailblazers Courtside. We're on till 8 o'clock tonight. Wheels has joined us in studio now. Mike Rice is here as well in our Rose Garden studios. Blazers coming up Wednesday against Milwaukee. Of course, lost last night at home to Cleveland. LeBron and the Cavs got the job done after Portland had tied the game on two occasions in the fourth quarter at 87 and at 89. Cavs closed the game on a 17-5 run. Now, the Laker game, it was kind of sandwiched between two games that closed the same way. Memphis closed the ball game here on a 13-1 run. Cleveland closes the game on a 17-5 run. And listening to some of the talk shows today, Wheels, yours included, and reading a lot of what fans are having to say about these ball games as of late, we know LaMarcus Aldridge isn't quite 100% on the ankle, but he's taken quite a beating in the market lately for the closes to the ball game, especially last night. And he acknowledged late in that ball game not only the missed two free throws late, but the fact that he passed out of really a 10-foot open jumper and he threw it away in a big turnover in that ball game. Portland only had, what, four turnovers going into the fourth last night, turned it over five times in the fourth quarter, and lost that ball game. But, Wheels, your thoughts on not only the Laker win, how great it was, and then the difficulty the team had getting up, which we fear to let down a little bit, but the difficulty in matching the intensity, not only in the building, but the team itself for the Cleveland game.
Yeah, it's funny how whenever the Blazers play the Lakers, whatever the circumstances, I mean, their energy level, their commitment, their focus.
And even the Lakers look different.
Yeah, they did too. And clearly the Rose Garden always is alive for any visit of the Lakers. So you knew Friday night would take care of itself in terms of the emotional part, and the Blazers fortunately took care of things. And we checked afterwards, only time all season, that the Lakers have had a game in which they didn't have a lead at some point in the contest. So that made that victory all the more impressive. Three ties in the game, but the Lakers never had a lead the entire night. The Blazers took the fight to the Lakers as they often do. For whatever reason, the Cavaliers then come in, and this is a team that gets the Blazers on their heels a little bit. And, you know, they lost five straight, but the average margin of defeat of the five games was 5 points, so every game had been close. And the common denominator in every one of those games was that the Cavaliers had done the key things in the fourth quarter to be able to win those games. Now, last night, it was a different scenario. LeBron just made sure that the Cavaliers were coming out of the gates, fresh off a tough loss in Denver two nights earlier. They were coming out of the gates, and they just jumped on the Blazers. And it took them probably 2.5 quarters to get into that game. But down by as many as 17, tremendous comeback, fight their way to a tie, but never could get the lead in that fourth quarter. And I think the difference between the two games, Wowen, is that Memphis and last night, the Blazers had the 8-point lead with 4 minutes to play against Memphis. Last night, they never could get the lead. It would have been interesting to see if they could have gotten the Cavs a little nervous in the fourth quarter last night, but they never could get the lead, and the Cavs, once again, as they have in the last few years, made all the key plays down the stretch to get that win.
You know, it's so different playing as a coach. I look at the Lakers. You don't have to get your team ready. You don't have to get your fans ready. That's a game. That's really playoff mentality. It really is when they play the Lakers. I, as an announcer, feel it. I feel like, ooh, let them come out. We got to get this thing on. Whereas Cleveland, it's like you're going to go see a movie, and you're going to judge the movie on the merits of what you see. You're not going to try to change.
You're going to have to be moved to get involved.
Oh, and no one gets involved. They watch, and our players do too, LeBron James. They don't Kobe. They go after Kobe. They're going to beat the Lakers. Whereas Cleveland comes in, and it's just – it's you only play them twice in the year. They're in the East, and it's just I don't know what, but you just play the game. The crowd, it took them until the Blazers started coming back. They were never in that game, and it took the players to get the crowd in. Whereas the Lakers, it's the other way around. The crowd gets the players all hepped up. And wouldn't it be nice if you could have that type of atmosphere, the Laker atmosphere, every game? But you can't. You can't get your team ready. I know even when I coached in college for 30 games, you would hope you could get your team really ready for 20 of the 30. and then the other 10. And it's like NBA, you just can't get it going every night. And for whatever reason, Cleveland, well, and you said they're the best first quarter team. They average more points than anybody in the NBA in the first quarter because you're trying to adjust to what LeBron James is doing. You're not used to playing a guy that good. And then they're the best team in the fourth quarter for a different reason. They're the best defensive team. They hold teams to an average of 20 points a game in the fourth quarter. What the Blazers have, 16, 18?
And they got 34 in the first.
Yeah, and that's how they win games. They play
shot deep. 74%, I think, in the first quarter.
And if your star has played 43 minutes, 44 minutes, he's not going to be like he was in the first quarter, and Brandon Roy wasn't. And that's why everybody wanted LaMarcus Aldridge to do something spectacular to make up for it. Brandon's tired. LaMarcus, why isn't he tired? Well, he's got two ankles, and he played 40-some minutes. And so they wanted him, and that's the difference for LaMarcus. He has to find out how to step up. And it's not all his fault. They quit going to him at a certain time in the game, and they did. He had J.J. Hickson, who is not a great defender. Everyone that was checking him, it would have been an even battle for him to score. If they go to him more, he'll score more. If you give Brandon the ball and the team isn't good that's playing against him, Brandon will score. But if it's Varejao on him, double-teaming him, then you got to go to LaMarcus, and the Blazers didn't. So it's not all LaMarcus's fault. The headline said, you know, all-star, no. But LaMarcus, you call his number, but he should want his number called. I look at him and I think he's not aggressive enough demanding the ball.
Especially in the fourth quarter. The Blazers often start games going to him in the first quarter. The fourth quarter, I think we know Brandon wants the ball in that situation. I don't know that we always know LaMarcus does, and I think maybe that's the next stage of his development.
Is the coach wanting more Brandon than LaMarcus?
Well, maybe we'll talk to Monty Williams about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because LaMarcus had 18 and 13 last night. Good numbers.
Sure.
Certainly, the rebound-wise, you can't ask for more there. But, yeah, it was late crunch time that a lot of people had complaints about.
And you got to ask Monty. And I mean,
I got it.
Hardball him. Don't be no fluffy stuff.
Monty Williams coming up next. If you'd like to contact the program, our email address is courtside@trailblazers.com. You can text us. Text the word courtside to 66937. And we'll also take some phone calls a little later on as well. But coming up next, Monty Williams, Blazer assistant coach, here on Trailblazers Courtside on Comcast Sportsnet, Blazers Radio Network, and trailblazers.com.
Now, it's time for the Coach's Call with Trailblazer assistant Monty Williams.
And welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside, here on till 8 o'clock tonight on Comcast Sportsnet, trailblazers.com, and the Blazers Radio Network, led by our flagship here in town, 95.5 The Game FM. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler back with you, and as you heard, time to bring in Blazer assistant coach Monty Williams. Monty, thanks for the time tonight. We appreciate it.
No worries, guys. Glad to do it.
Monty, we talked off the top of the TV broadcast last night, and about the fear of a letdown, and I don't mean in a traditional sense, but difficult to bring the same sense of urgency and to get that same energy from the crowd early on when you're not playing the Lakers or in the game immediately following a game against the Lakers. What did you guys try to do to get the team in that same scrappy energy, especially off the bat, and did you worry about that a little bit starting that game?
We as a staff probably worry about that every game at this point in the season, just because it's January and right after this short period we're going to have All-Star break, and there's a tendency to have a letdown anyway. But Coach Prunty, it was his scout yesterday, and he talked about the Cavaliers coming out and just taking it to us right from the start, and if we weren't ready, we were going to dig ourselves a hole. But I think you guys are right. I mean, the difference in the Laker game and last night was there were a lot of aspects that were different. I mean, the Laker game, you came out and there were the cards on the seats. And
yeah.
Even Nicholas Batum was like, is it a playoff game tonight? And, then you come out for the Cavalier game and there's no cards. And, you have to be a professional to jack yourself up and have that mentality every night. And, you know, we could point to a number of things, but the fact is they scored more points than we did, and we didn't get the stops when we needed to last night.
You know, you're in front of us now, up and down the sidelines, and and you know, about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Hoops Hype had you down as a head coach in waiting. That you're on a short list of a lot of general managers' list for being a head coach. What's the feeling like now, walking up and down the sidelines and communicating with Nate on the bench?
You know, Nate just gives me a message, and I relay it to the players. I think that it's probably getting blown up more than it should. The head coaching thing is something that, you know, I kind of shy away from, because you're talking about jobs that are still occupied, and I kind of find it a little disrespectful to talk about somebody else's job. And it's just one of those things. I'm just filling a void for Nate. You know, he can't get up the way he wants to, even though he tries to every now and again, and you just got to watch his elbows when he gets excited if you're sitting down beside him. But, you know, you guys have been around us long enough. Our staff just tries to do whatever it takes to win games. And right now, you know, I'm kind of running up and down the sideline like a jackrabbit, just trying to get, for the most part, make sure Jared or one of our young guys knows a call, because we're playing with Dante and Jared and Jeff Pendergraft. And those guys need to know certain adjustments. You know, Jawan and Brandon and Andre and Steve Martell, they pretty much know what we want to do. They need a reminder every now and again, but our young guys probably need more adjusting than anything, and I'm just trying to help Nate out as much as I can.
This has been a real remarkable, if you look at the number of injuries, everyone talks about it, but as a coach, I know if I had one or two injuries when I coached in college, it was a major, you know, upheaval. Everything changed, the offense, defense. You guys have just done a remarkable coaching job. What has been the biggest change with all these injuries in you coaching the team?
You just don't know what to expect from one day to the next. And I think Nate has just given us the mentality that it doesn't matter who we have. We have to trust the system that we've put in, tweak it a little bit. But, you know, Nate's always talked to our guys about, you never know when your opportunity is going to come. And to see guys like Jared Bayless work tirelessly in the gym and get his opportunity and not just, you know, take advantage of it. He's taken full advantage of his opportunity. And see Dante and Jeff, you know, guys like that who didn't think they would play this year, and they're getting an opportunity to play. But we had the same situation last year with Nicholas Batum when Martell went down. Nicholas, who we thought was going to be in the D League for the most part of the year, was starting small forward. So Nate talks about opportunity every day, and it's something that we're thankful for as coaches and players. You know, you never know. It could be right around the corner, and you could have your night or have your stretch of games where you can make a name for yourself.
Monty Williams with us here on Trailblazers Courtside. And, Coach, in the first segment, we were talking a little bit about LaMarcus Aldridge as he takes the next stage of his development to hopefully become an all-star in this league. We were discussing about a player's willingness to want the basketball during crunch time versus a coaching staff maybe calling plays for him. You guys traditionally have done a lot to get LaMarcus the ball early, and then Brandon's kind of been the closer in the fourth quarter with the ball in his hands, deciding whether he's going to initiate the offense for himself or get other people opportunities. Does LaMarcus need to do more to want the basketball in the fourth quarter of games, or is it something where that's just going to come? Is he that type of personality to, you know, to ask for more opportunities? Take us into what kind of mindset he brings to the game and if that's something that would be in character for him.
I think it's in his character. LaMarcus has been a big-time player all of his life, at least as far as I can remember. If, you know, I've studied a bit of his past, and, you know, he's been that kind of player. I think there's a tendency to come back from an injury and see the team have a flow, and you don't want someone to interrupt that flow. I think there has to be a combination of two things. You know, we as coaches probably have to put him in a position where he can succeed and give him more opportunities. And, you know, he has to also want to have the ball and to also make the stops. You know, we always talk about guys always on coaches for hamstringing them with too many playing calls or, you know, not getting them the ball. You never hear a guy say, coach didn't let me change the defense, or coach didn't let me get out of a zone, or coach didn't let me change the pick-and-roll scheme. You know, so it goes both ways. And he has the capability, and Nate talks about it all the time, to dominate a game on both ends of the floor. And I don't know if he realizes how much we believe in that. He's one of the few guys that can start the defense off by pressuring the ball 94 feet, and he's 6'11". You know, there's not one guy, maybe one or two guys in the league that can do that, and he can do it every night. And so he's going to come through for us. We believe that, or else, you know, we wouldn't put him in those positions.
Coach, Mike Rice talked about this a few minutes ago, or actually about the injuries, and everybody's talked about that. But it's been tough because of the inconsistency in the rotation. Starting lineup last year, you guys basically knew who that was going to be, and you had success night in and night out. The bench rotation was pretty well solidified by midseason. Now then, when guys start to come back, Rudy back, we're hearing maybe Friday, Nicholas Batum right behind him, Travis Outlaw a little later, is it almost now you've got to figure things out for a sixth, seventh, and eighth time when these guys come out in the rotation as far as who gets the minutes, who loses minutes? And it seems like when you've gotten a nice rhythm going, and clearly even with the loss to Cleveland and Memphis, you have had a nice rhythm going despite the injuries. Is this now just another challenge working these guys back in as far as who gets time and who doesn't?
Well, I think you said it. We have a rhythm, but at the same time, all of those guys that you mentioned make us better as a team. And I think the guys who are playing right now will welcome those guys back. I think it's a good problem to have, having Rudy and Nicholas and Travis maybe in a month or two come back. Guys want to play 48 minutes anyway, you know, unless they're down by 20, then they want to be yanked out of the game. I've been in that position before. But I think we are going to be presented some problems as far as trying to keep everybody happy. But, you know, the main goal is for us to win games. And I think with our leadership pretty much set with Brandon and Steve and Andre, and Juwan has done such a good job of being selfless and teaching the young guys. You know, the younger guys will probably suffer a bit, but that'll be Nate's call. But, you know, Dante and Jeff have had a great run, and they're developing on the fly. More than likely, Rudy and Nicholas and those guys are going to not come back right away and start playing 30 minutes. So it'll give us a chance to gradually bring those guys along. But again, you know, Nate's going to make that call.
If you look at the West, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Utah, Memphis, Kings, I'm looking at it today, and I'm trying to think of how the Clippers, who look like if they get Blake Griffin back, really are starting to roll. But I'm looking at the teams that they have to beat out to get in that eighth spot: Houston, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Utah, Memphis, Kings. In your time in the NBA, have you ever seen 13 teams really having an opportunity to get in the eight spots?
No, I haven't. I mean, there's so much parity now, and I think that's what the NBA wanted when they put this cap together a few years ago, where guys couldn't move around as much. And, you know, you have these teams now that have a lot of young guys who can play. And if you name all those teams again, you could go down that list. There's some of those teams have guys who are only 22, 23 years old, and they're the best players on those teams. And so I think that's why you have such – inconsistency at times, because there are games where you should win, but, you know, sometimes when you have 22, 23-year-old guys, they don't bring it every night, and then those same guys sneak up on you, and that's why Utah kind of jumps up and down. Every once in a while, you'll see them lose to Minnesota, and then you'll see them run off five or six in a row. It's just going to be like that for a while, but the problem for us is, you know, we can't worry about those teams teams, we got to make sure that we keep our flow going so that when we get our guys back, you know, we can put ourselves in a position to hopefully get home court advantage. And we really want to make the playoffs this year. And right now that's our goal. But I think you're right. It does look crazy. I haven't seen this before, but I haven't been around as long as you guys have as far as being able to recall all that stuff. But it is kind of weird to see all these teams in contention.
Are you saying Wheels is old, that old?
No, you know, I always refer to you when I talk about age.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, that's right.
You know, all of my darts go to you personally.
We appreciate that, Coach. We appreciate that. Lastly, Wednesday night, back in action, Milwaukee, second meeting of the season with them. Great first battle, went to double overtime at their place, and you got to look at one of the best rookies in the league, and Brandon Jennings.
Yeah, I mean, Jennings is a handful, but, you know, the more I look at film, I'm amazed at Bogut and how he's developed. You know, he can go one-on-one off the dribble 20 feet away from the basket. He can pass. He can shoot with both hands. You know, Michael Redd, I don't know if he's going to play. I think he had an injury.
But He's out.
But, you know, that team is a Scott Skiles team. They play hard the whole game. Mbah Moute is a great defender, not a good one. He's a great defender. Charlie Bell is solid. And they just have guys who fill in. Ilyasova is probably one of the better swing power forwards in the game because he can shoot the ball from three-point land. And so we have our work cut out. The more you look at film, the scarier it gets when you look at that team because you know they're going to play hard for 48-plus. And we felt like we had them at their place. It just didn't work out for us, so we'll be glad to play that game in front of our crowd tomorrow.
All right, thanks, Coach. We appreciate the time as always. Monty, take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow, actually Wednesday night.
No worries. Good to talk to you guys.
All right, Monty Williams, our guest here on Trailblazers Courtside. We take a break. The NBA's longest winning streak is now over as Philadelphia defeats New Orleans tonight 96-92. So that's good news. Anytime one of the teams in that logjam in the West can go down, you got to root for it. We'll take a break. Back with more on Trailblazers Courtside right after this.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
And welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside. This will not be a long segment. We went over with Monty, but I do want to get some of your emails in. You can email the program, courtside@trailblazers.com. And if you'd like to start getting your phone calls lined up, you can do that as well, 503-963-4595 or toll-free, 877-475-4595. Jeff emails in, courtside@trailblazers.com. And says, my son and I are big fans of Mike Rice. Ooh. He is wanting one of those Mike Rice T-shirts badly. Where can we get one of those? Funny you should ask, because...
Oh, are they now available?
Yeah. this is from John. I would like to thank Mr. Rice for his support of our Mike Rice Hero T-shirts that were shown on the postgame of the Laker game and before the third quarter of the Cleveland game. Oh, yeah, we did do...
Now, are these,
there they are right there. Look at the Halligar.
This is the same Greg guy? The same guy that started?
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
It's become more than one.
We have started the fan club website at MikeRiceFanClub.com. Fans can go to the site and own their very own Mike Rice Hero shirt. When I talked to Rice at the game, he had mentioned the shirts that he signed would be put up for auction on eBay. Proceeds would go to Dornbecker Children's Hospital starting Wednesday after the Milwaukee game.
Yeah.
You get a sponsor in there, you got it. They know that. That's a good idea. And fans should certainly do that. So my friends and our season ticket holders love that when we can't catch the game in person, we have the best announcing crew in all of sports.
Now, this is the guy
all of you guys.
This is the guy that started it. But
he was on the show last week.
Yeah, yeah. This is another group. Yeah.
It's the same picture?
No, it's a little different.
It's a little different.
It's in color.
But shouldn't this guy get something?
He should.
He
doesn't have a website.
Apparently.
But anyway, MikeRiceFanClub.com is where you can go to get your Mike Rice shirt. And I don't think it's like the one you just saw, but it's close. But clearly, two groups are now dueling, so there's going to be competition in the marketplace, which is always healthy.
That's great.
I have to start using makeup on these pictures.
I start now.
I don't see why you should do that. Liz writes in and says, not that I am superstitious, but it doesn't seem appropriate that you guys – doesn't it seem appropriate you guys should wear red ties for game day broadcasts? Sometimes you are wearing the opponent's colors. Not good for team support. Just a thought.
What?
I don't know.
Is that what you guys do?
I'll tell you what. I don't know some of the team colors.
Like, here's the T-shirt thing from the other night, by the way.
Oh, okay.
These are the shirts, I think, is what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. These are the shirts.
Well, the hero. Different. Yeah, the hero shirt. That's the one right
that's
there.
That's color, yeah. Now, that's the media guide for sure.
Yeah, that's the media guide shot. but from about 13 years ago.
What, do you think they brushed it up or something?
No,
or?
Not at all. But we will take more of your text messages and your emails and your phone calls. Once again, 503-963-4595 or toll-free, 877-475-4595. Were you happy with the loss to the Cavaliers? Not that you'd be happy with the loss. Mixed with the Laker win, though. 1-1 out of that weekend. Did that make you happy? We'll take some of your phone calls and continue with your emails and thoughts about what's to come in the next week. Rudy back, they say, Friday. We'll have more on that when we come back.
Amazing.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
And welcome back here to our Rose Garden studio until 8 o'clock tonight. Mike Baird, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler, Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. And by the way, you can get your free Rudy Fernandez bobblehead when you sign up for a Wells Fargo checking package. Visit your Wells Fargo or go to trailblazers.com for more details. And that leads us into the Rudy news we are hearing. And I don't think this has been confirmed, but we are hearing Rudy could be back in the lineup by Friday. We saw him out doing some shooting and some running, trying to get back in shape. Not that he's lost it, because he's been doing some stuff. But he looked good before last night's game. You and I both saw that. And then Friday night, get him back. And as I asked Monty on the phone, what do you do with the rotation once these guys start to come back? I mean, it's a good thing. As he said, it is a good problem to have, but
it is,
it's another issue.
And it isn't. I've gone through this coaching. When you do get a guy like Bayless.
Because he got Blake back in last night.
Yeah. Now, why is Martell doing so well now?
Because he's getting minutes.
That's right. See, he finally didn't have to look over his shoulder. He could miss a shot, miss a defensive assignment, and not be penalized by Rudy or Nicholas running up to the bench. So, finally, he's in a little rhythm. He's making some big shots. He knows the team wants him to take big shots. Now, once again, here's Nicholas and Rudy. Nicholas plays better defense than him. Rudy possibly is a more exciting guy to get your team back into a groove offensively. So, you know, now he's a little nervous. Bayless gets a little nervous about his time. He already, with just Blake coming back for that 6 minutes, I looked down the bench. We had a camera on him, and I was watching him very closely. And he was, like, sitting on the edge of his chair looking down.
Coach,
at
you
Nate.
See me? Don't forget about me.
Yeah. He was looking at Nate. And, you know, and each time Monty came back, you know, he'd give him a little, I'm still here. And so with 13 teams, and there is 13 now, the Kings, they get Armstrong today.
Yep.
Hilton Armstrong.
Yep.
He owns some motels and hotels,
too.
Yeah. And they get him back, and Kevin Martin played last night, so he's back. Now they have to bring him back in because, you know, they've got a point guard, rookie point guard, Tyreke Evans. It ain't doing bad.
Yeah.
And he's used to having the ball, so they have to. But, I mean, there's a team right there, and the Clippers, oh, my God, what they're doing is unbelievable.
And then Blake Griffin is about to come back and mess that rotation up, but in a good way because he's phenomenal.
And I don't know what Merlin's going to say. He's going to give you the teams that are going to make the playoffs tonight. You know, he said that we made our predictions. Now he's – and, you know, I don't think he does a good job in predicting, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, he has the nice advantage of waiting almost half a season to make his predictions.
Yeah,
I mean, we could probably do better if we waited half a season.
I'll tell you what. I'm looking over the list.
You got his notes?
No, I'm looking over my list.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't touch his list. You know, I'd have to sanitize and all that stuff.
You guys had to be separated earlier in the parking
lot. Well, if the guy talks about me like he did last year, he called me a vile man.
I heard that.
He did.
Yeah.
Really, more than once.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we'll see tonight. But I'll tell you, it is difficult to decide. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he has what he says is the final.
Well, and when you talk about playing rotation, you know, in a league where it's always what have you done for me lately, the question becomes, has Martell, has Jared, earned the opportunity now to make those mistakes that you talk about, know that they are still going to be able to stay on the court when they have some hungry players that are looking now to get back in the rotation. In Steve's case, he misses only four games, but Nicholas obviously hasn't played all season long, so he's going to be looking for the opportunity. He knows that defensively he can help the Blazers the first game he comes back. So it'll be curious to see how Nate decides to handle the minutes, the distribution. Yeah, it's going to be back into a situation because now, you know, in some cases we didn't necessarily know for sure what Jared could do. Martell had missed all of last year, but now we've seen these guys produce, so we know what they can do. The coaches know what they can do. So now, you know, what kind of opportunity to give the new guys?
And, you know, it's a short string because Bayless is explosive. And you put him in there if Brandon Roy's a little tired, Bayless can take over. Whereas Steve is more like Andre Miller. You know, they set people up, and they think the game. So there's a place for all of them, but can the chemistry blend together? Can they love each other? Like Nate says, we love each other. We're a family.
Well, early in the season, you know, the thought of Jared was, we'll play him some in the first half. If he looks like he's doing some productive things, we'll bring him back out there in the second half. Now he's earned time not only in both halves but in the fourth quarter of close games. You know, will he still be out there when you've got Steve, who has been out there for the fourth quarter of a lot of great Blazer wins the last few years? And, again, when Nicholas comes back, he fills the need for another perimeter defender. So, you know, these guys are going to be able – and Rudy, you keep forgetting about Rudy. He's been out there in the fourth quarter of close games too. So, you know, you can only put five guys on the court.
Yeah, it's not as if the Blazers are losing.
No, they're not.
You know,
they won 7 of what, 11 now with last night's loss.
And they've got the third best record against the top 11 teams in the NBA right now. They're beating some good ball clubs.
As beat up as they are. To the phone lines we go. Andrew in Eugene, you are first up. Andrew, what's on your mind?
I have two things real quick, one for the present and one for the past. The present, would you give up an Andre Miller or Steve Blake to get somebody like a Brendan Haywood? Because it really seems that if the Blazers are going to go anywhere in the playoffs, even if they go get everybody, the perimeter players back, they really need more of a presence in the middle. I think that was pretty exposed last night. And my other question is from the past, and this is for Mike Rice, because I think he goes back far enough to maybe remember why this happened or didn't. Why is Jeff Petrie's jersey hanging in the Rose Garden and Sidney Wicks, who was Rookie of the Year, four-time All-Star, led the team in scoring a few years, why is his not in the rafters?
Well, we'll take the first question first. I'd do the deal tomorrow, Brendan Haywood. He averages 10 rebounds a game. He has a big body. We've seen Memphis, we've seen Cleveland come in and hurt the Blazers with big bodies. I would do the Brendan Haywood deal yesterday.
And the Wizards continue to say everybody's available on that team.
And they say in the Washington Post today, it's the Blazers or Denver. They're going to end up with Brendan Haywood.
But if you're Portland, do you have any negotiating power right now? Because everybody knows you need a big guy so badly.
Well, and you do need it, so you may have to.
All right, to the Sidney Wicks question. I know this.
I wouldn't put either one in, but
Wicks wasn't nearly as popular in Portland as Petrie.
Yeah.
And I think the parting of the ways, and honestly, a guy like Rich Patterson, who's back in our studio, would probably know more about the feeling at the time about Sidney Wicks, but he isn't looked back upon as one of the pioneers, like maybe he should be, like the numbers he put up.
Yeah. You want to put Petrie up there?
Well, no. Petrie was the face of the franchise.
Yes, he was.
When he played, he was the man. Wicks was more like Zach Randolph. He had excellent numbers, but
they weren't winning, and like Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed Wallace is the same way. And once
Wicks left is when everything turned the corner and they started playing winning basketball. One that won the championship the year after Wicks left.
And they say one of the reasons they won it, he left.
Yeah, that is what they say.
They had more chemistry, so there's your...
All right, one more quick phone call, Rich, then the break. All right, let's break now. Mike, hang on the line, and the other callers that are lined up, hang on as well. We only have one more guest at the 7 o'clock hour, and then, of course, Merlin. Brian Smith, McColumbian, coming up at 7:05. More of your phone calls, though, and your emails after the break. You're watching Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power.
Now,
back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside, here on the Blazers Radio Network, Comcast Sportsnet, and Trailblazers.com. And we want to get back to the phone lines now. Mike in Portland, you are next up on Trailblazers Courtside. Or Joe, I'm sorry, Joe in Portland. Joe, how you doing?
Can we call you Mike?
Yes.
I'm doing fine. Thanks for the phone call.
Sure.
Taking my phone call. What I wanted to bring to the light is the attitude of the leadership in the team. Since they have elected Brandon Roy as the leader of the team, the momentum and all that sort of starts through him and through the coaches. And what I saw in the fourth quarter was Brandon being so tired, and it looked like he was just mentally defeated after he especially missed a pass to Howard on the side. And so when Brandon seems to tend to miss free throws, I see the rest of the teams tend to miss free throws.
You're right about that.
Yeah, and so the thing is that if Brandon has the ability to be a great athlete, but he also needs to have that ability to translate his winning attitude to the rest of the team. And so he cannot show to the opposing team when he's playing that he's tired, because that's like telling your enemy that I'm tired, come and get me. And that's one of the reasons why he lost the ball. The guy stole it. So he has to communicate to the rest of the players, yes, I'm a little tired, but I'm counting on you guys. You know, don't give them that defeated mentality and let's win this game, because we've come up with 17 points deficit. So I think that's what they're lacking at the very end in many other games.
Now, should the coach take him out for longer rest, or is it up to Brandon to just suck it up and play those minutes?
Yeah, Brandon is a leader. He needs to suck it up. LeBron played one minute more than Brandon did. I don't see LeBron showing so fatigued. Maybe he was, but he's not showing it.
Well, you know, thanks, Joe, for the phone call. I think that, you know, Brandon's been asked to do so much and carry so much of the load this year. And I don't think for one, looking at last year, even the year before, and even this year, his fourth quarter and crunch time play can be called into question at all for what he's done in the fourth quarters.
Now, and, you know, he's got to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at halftime.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised.
Really? Yeah, he does.
And clearly, so I have a hard time, again, being critical of Brandon for anything, especially late in ball games. 34 points again last night when he is the focal point of the defenses that the Blazers are seeing every night. Last night, they switch and have Varejao on Brandon. Yeah. He got a good poke steal, just like O.J. Mayo got in the Memphis game late. But again, Brandon, even though he's setting the offense late, teams are obviously being aggressive with him. To say that he looks tired, I think it's because he is tired. I mean, he's not only physically drained, and he hasn't been completely healthy through this run, especially with the shoulder, but he's playing through it because he knows if he isn't in there, your chances really take a hit. So, again, leadership-wise, maybe. But I haven't seen real obvious signs that he's tired late in ball games, other than maybe a few mental mistakes. Now, Brandon does miss free throws. He normally misses them in the first half. He doesn't give you many misses in the fourth quarter. Last night was odd. What was he, 3 for 8 at the line last night?
Well, what did you guys think, though? I thought in the Laker game, what was good about the fourth quarter is that while Brandon still had his share of moments where he initiated the Blazer offense, there seemed to be a little bit of a variety of that. I saw Jared handle the ball. The game-winning layup, as we see on TV, was handled with Andre having the ball out front and Brandon moving without the ball. I thought there was a little variety in the way that the Blazers ran some sets in the fourth quarter of that game against the Lakers. I'd like to maybe see a little bit more of that, and that might take away some of the other team's abilities to double-team.
And we didn't see that. I mean, if you want to look, we mentioned the Laker game, it was the exception in the last three, because in the others, it was a 13-1 run by Memphis and a 17-5 run by Cleveland. So if you are Portland, you probably should examine the way you're running things in the last several minutes of a game.
And you have to look at the Lakers still thought they were going to win the game with offense, and they weren't running double teams, and they weren't
Cleveland defense.
Yes, and Cleveland and Memphis really ran at Brandon. I mean, when you tried any kind of high pick and roll, they stayed with the double team on him and left the pick man wide open. And it's up to Brandon to decide what he's going to do off of that. But they really pushed to help and Cleveland play great defense, win that, like you said, Wheels, then it's time to maybe find a different way to get Brandon the ball, not up
top. Well, and I'll be curious to see, after Memphis won their game here, what they do, go in and get blown out the next night at Utah. Now, it won't be as difficult an opponent, but Cleveland tonight having to play at Golden State, and we'll see if they used up all their energy yesterday in winning the game here.
One more quick phone call, then the break. Mike in Portland, what's on your mind?
Hey, we've been talking a lot about how the players coming back are going to affect the rotation.
Uh-huh.
And my bigger concern is how it's going to affect the offense and the style that we've been playing lately, because lately we've been, you know, putting up a pretty high field goal percentage, and the guys that are coming back are more perimeter shooters. And I think with our two centers being out, we're going to have to anticipate teams coming in shooting a good percentage on us. So do you guys think we'll be able to continue shooting close to 50% with Rudy Fernandez and Travis Outlaw coming back and getting the bulk of the shots?
Well, that's a good point, Mike, as far as the outside shooting goes. And it's also a good observation. Portland, you're right, has been shooting, and they shot 51% again last night. So everything has been up, and that's why rebounding has been down, and you're continuing to see that number go down. We'll answer that question. I want to get your response to that. After the break, we come back. We wrap up hour number one of Trailblazers Courtside right after this.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Courtside is presented by Pacific Power's Energy Trust of Oregon. Energy efficiency tips and incentives at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. Mike Rice, get back to Mike's question quickly about the field goal percentage and what happens when some of these guys come back. Rudy, Nick, do you see the field goal percentage taking a drop?
Well, the reason the Blazers, if you look the last six, seven games, they've done pretty well at points in the paint. Early in the year, when we had the big
last
guys.
Last night wasn't bad.
Yeah.
46-40?
Yeah. Believe me, that's the Blazers were 29th in the NBA at points in the paint because they were trying to establish the paint. The tempo of the game was slower, so you weren't getting any fast break layups or anything like that. And so there were no points in the paint, even though you had big guys, but you thought you could develop that. But now Brandon is getting there. Bayless is getting into the paint to score.
Miller.
Remember, Tony Parker four years ago was second in the NBA at points in the paint because he was penetrating all the time. That's Bayless. That's Brandon Roy. That's why they're getting. I don't know if Rudy can do that. I don't know if Travis can do that. I don't know if Nicholas can do that. So it may not improve.
Stay tuned. Trailblazers Courtside continues. For those of you watching on TV, a little Know Your Blazers coming up next.